Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
American singer and songwriter Keith Ian built his foundation in jazz before carving out his own lane as a genre-blending artist. His early path included performing in a children's gospel group, a jazz quartet, and a boy band before stepping out as a solo act. Beyond the stage, Keith Ian honed his craft as a writer and producer for artists, brands, and film or television projects, while also serving as a music director on tour. In 2019, he officially launched his solo career with the emotionally charged To My Pain EP, followed by 2022's Green Clouds EP featuring the breakout single Chance, a record that climbed the R&B radio charts. Most recently, Keith Ian released his Missing Out EP after joining R&B star Vido on the sold-out Mood Swings North American tour. In 2025, he released his new LP, Human or Sinner. With his smooth vocals, vulnerable storytelling, and a sound he calls gumbo music, a fusion of R&B, pop, jazz, hip-hop, and soul, Keith Ian is building a timeless catalogue that reflects both his roots and his fearless creativity. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Keith Ian.
Where in the world are you, and how are you doing?
I am doing pretty good, and I'm in Los Angeles, the Valley, to be exact, out in the Valley, in between Van Nuys and Sherman Oaks.
Let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be in this creative world, creating music, and how did that journey progress?
Ah, man, you know, I was thrust into it around seven, meaning that, like, I was just surrounded with family and friends that are, like, being creative, like, I was in a gospel group, and then I joined like a little jazz group, but, you know, based upon family and my grandpa and stuff like that. But I think it was like 12 that I was probably like, yo, I want to do this.
So how did that thought of actually I want to do it and actually doing it? What were those next steps?
I think I was already actually doing it. That's the funny part. You know what I mean? Like developing it with just being thrust into it type of thing. And then actually doing it just start coming natural and stuff. I knew it had a lot of dedication and work just based upon just what I was taught and everything.
I know this may be a rhetorical question because you've had the path that you've had. Do you potentially feel if your family was not in the industry, not creating music, you may have gone on to another path or you would still have gone into the music industry?
I think because my family, even though they were creators and everything, they cautioned me about like music industry and things like that, you know, so they gave me all the leeway to go to wherever direction I wanted to go. So I technically, like with my own personal journey, I went to school like really young for college. I was trying to be a pre-med major, and by like the second year, the advisor was like, yo, everybody knows you're a creative. What are you doing? Why are you trying to be a doctor? Like, so I tried to run, and my family gave me the foundation to stay or run.
How do you create a song?
I'm an instant person. I'm impulsive. Like, I hear music, I hear a beat, I hear some keys, I hear sound, and I'll just go. And I'm also kind of like those people that, like, I'm really lucky to have that feeling of just instant jumping into music. I can be walking down the street and hear something and then give me a song, but you know, so I just do it that way. If in that case, I'll write a voice note, I'll sing a voice note, you know what I mean?
And do you collaborate with others or do you mainly create on your own?
I collaborate directly on creating my projects with my producer Oliver, but yes, I collaborate with others all the time. I like that too, just because it's sharing energy, you know what I mean, and creating process and getting other people's experience.
I love that because music is energy. It's sound waves, which is basically energy, and energy is flowing and interacting. So basically, I love exactly what you said. That's beautiful. Tell us about your latest project.
Right. Well, so like this album is my first album. I've been putting out EPs over the past 5 years. And so I signed to this indie label, SRG. ILS group, and they just want to support me as an artist. And they were like, you should put out an album. So we already were working on a project. So we started somewhat reworking on it for it to be an album purpose. This album, Human Center, is about like some tragedy that I'm going through, grief, loss, and then building myself back to where I am right now. But it starts where I was at the time of all that stuff happening. So I'm really excited to be able to put this out.
What's the difference from your experience in releasing an EP compared to releasing an album?
Okay, so now this is, as the EP goes by faster. It goes by much faster. It's like a brief conversation with the fans or listeners. And you just do it. You roll out a few singles, jump into it, build that world. And an album, from my experience now, it's like a longer process. It's a more tedious process because you're trying to match the brand and what your story and the world that you told. You are choosing songs and letting go of songs that may fit or may not. And then from my experience now, I'm also working with more people than I've ever have. I'm used to just like working with my general team. And this time I'm like working with like teams that has opinions. And I'm like, what the heck? It's usually just our opinion. So it's a different experience, but it's definitely a great.
So those interactions with those teams that have what the heck opinions, you used to the energy of the team that you've had. Now you've got these new people and new energies. Is it taking you a moment to understand and get used to those energies and understand their perspective and point of view? Or are you just accepting it as it is, one step at a time?
It's a little bit of both. Like, what's cool is that the new energies come at a rush, and it's great. It's grand, it's great, it's incredible. But then it's also a synergy type of thing too. So I'm so appreciative that they come with incredible ideas and like the rush of stuff and whatnot. But then like it's also like my team looks at it and we're like, okay, cool, is this working together? And it takes some time to understand, but I think that it's been happening pretty well. I will tell you, like, the label asked me to change the name of two songs and the project name, actually. But the truth, no, not the project name, just the name of two songs, the title track. But everything they said, it was absolutely right. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, okay, I needed that energy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, well, essentially my team is pretty young in the music industry. We've been working in it for it's our career, but also we're like young compared to the team that the other team, which is the label team. They're experienced and they've sold multi-millions of records. And at the same time, like won multi-Grammys, just all these huge accolades. And you can tell it within the artist roster itself, but they do have an interesting perspective that helps. It's perfect. It helps, you know? So yeah.
Okay. So let's put out there millions of sales of the album and multiple Grammy nominations and wins for you. So let's just step into that first of all.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier about letting go some of the songs that don't really fit the theme of the project. Are you going to hold on to those songs for other themes or other stories or other EPs?
Yeah, they're waiting for the songs that I pulled are waiting for what I would call probably the deluxe version of this album.
Ah.
Oh, yeah, probably going to release it early summer of next year, 2026. It works with this project, but it works in a different breath.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for all your hard work. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, the thank yous. I am unsure if you may or may not be aware, massive uptick of physical around the world.
Yes.
2 years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyl sold, the biggest since 1990. Last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. And based on these exchanges, which there needs to be a high number every day, they monitor it for some other tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now back in the basket. And the research is showing it's the teenagers, it's the younger kids diving into this world. Then we also have streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
Oh, the landscape, the observation is Wild Wild West. That's what I get, right? You're right. It's funny. I've been approached to do some vinyl, and I'm so excited about it. Because guess what? The conversation was talking about my artwork, and I put so much time in the artwork and how I did this thing that digitally it's cute, but digitally you're looking at like millions of them at the same time. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it gives me, even just in that aspect of just an artist, it gave me a place with like, oh my God, I told my manager when I got the thing, I was like, oh, that's the first time I actually got a chance to explain my artwork. I think that the reason why that's happening, in my opinion, is because we've been so digital and you can't touch things. So, and it makes you have a sense of non-ownership. But when you like something or you love it, I think we're in a place where we want to own something nowadays. Like we're like, okay, we want to touch it. We want to physically have it here. You know, so I think that's what's happening.
Also, and the sound quality on the digital or the vinyl compared to the Spotify, and that is so much better because as I understand you guys, when you deliver it to the DSPs, you shrink it or compact it so it can land on
Exactly.
that platform.
Yeah, man. So that's the second thing, or to me, the first, to be really honest, is the quality of it that you get a chance to listen. You know, I am aware though, there's not very many record players, or I don't think my car even have like a CD player. But at the same time, like it's one of those things where, you know, I think that they're gonna have more record shops and things like that.
Yeah. Well, you actually can find. So I was living overseas and I came back to South Africa just before lockdown. And as I said, I've still got my CDs and I've got all my stuff. And I was like, oh, I need to get a CD player. And everyone was saying to me, no ways, they're extinct. You can't find them anymore. And I went on to a platform similar to Amazon in South Africa called Takealot, hoping for one option. And there were 50, 60 options. I had to narrow it down and narrow it down. So they definitely, if you look, you can find.
Yes, okay, that's good to know. So I mean, and I know that too as well. Some of my favorite record shops here in LA are the ones that have just vinyl only. Or wait, quite frankly, that's the only record shops there are the ones. So, but yes, you're right.
So, what do you enjoy about performing live?
Oh man, what I love about performing live is straight up just getting the direct energy. So to me, you just finished talking about vinyl, and it's because people can touch it. So for me, performing live is like vinyl because people can touch it. You know what I mean? Immediately, you can see the expression. They give it back to you. Like I have a tendency to like get people to sing my songs with me, and it's just like instant gratification for both us and the music itself. You know what I mean? Like it's breathing life into it.
Okay, so I'm that dude that's right up in front. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two videos, one or two photos, and I put it away. I know why you're laughing. I notice these days that people are videoing and posting and doing a lot with their cell phones, and you referenced looking in the eyes and that energy exchange. Do you not feel that people busy on their phones for a lot of the time takes away from that, or it's just where society is at the moment?
It's where society is at the moment. It could take away from it, but also I think that the sharing aspect is where the positive part is, because you it's basically people wanting to share that moment with everybody else. Because you know, there's also this saying in this new digital world is if it's not on camera, it didn't happen. You know, like it's one of those things where people want to know that they've been there. I think there's just the psychology is all the same. The truth is, I think that people would rather other people shoot it for them. It's just that they can't share it as fast, or they can't be the first to do it, or they can't have ownership once again with that.
You've referenced a couple of times about instant gratification of the performing of live and the creating of music. But sometimes in the music world, as we know, there's up and downs, especially when there are more teams involved, there are more people saying and more decision makers. When it's taking a little bit longer than you potentially enjoy or like, how do you deal with that potential frustration, or do you just channel that energy into more creativity?
Yeah, I do all of that. Like I throw things at the wall and scream, kick, and go crazy. I hit the powers that be, mainly the ones that are like, yo, can you go ask them to do this? You know, that type of stuff. I pray about it a lot of times. That's the thing that calms me down. It's like, okay, let me just like ask for what I want and grace. You know what I mean? And then at the same time, it does create this energy of creativity, or ambition, or how to figure it out. Like Like I tend to be one of these people that like to figure things out too at the same time. So yeah, I get a little bit of all of that.
What else is happening? Obviously, you're going to be touring and it's about supporting the new release. Anything else that's going to be happening over the next period of time, or that's a direct focus?
Yeah, man, it's going to be directly just the music, pushing all the music stuff. I have a few film projects that I can't really talk about, but at the top of the year, I'll be able to explain that I'm so excited about. Yeah, we're just pushing the music, doing shows, touring, getting in front of the people and receiving the feedback. And I have a single that's on the radio right now. Fight Back is doing really well. And we're just pushing that too as well. So I'm so excited about all of this.
I know you can't discuss it, but when you mentioned the film, is that as in acting or producing or creating music for it?
Yeah, so I'm a filmmaker. When I'm not doing music, I'm also a filmmaker.
Okay.
So like I'm not acting in it, I'll tell you that. But I'm definitely producing projects that I got. Actually it's a documentary that I'll announce later, but people know I've been working on a few of them and I'm just really proud of it.
What do you enjoy about production and being in the movie space?
Is I'm a creative. So like I get a chance to create as my album is a whole story. Like, of things, that's just another form of telling a story for the masses. And that's what excites me like the most,
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question tomorrow or the next day or the next day, I know your answer will be different every time. If you had to push play to five other artists once we finish this conversation, just top of head, I want to play this person, this person, and this person. Who would those artists be?
It would be Leon Thomas. It'd be Olivia Dean. It would be Tame Impala. It would be Gunna and Cardi B. It's all over the place for me, right? Yo, I want to add Taylor Swift too, just because Taylor is incredible.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the audience, what would you like to say?
For me, it's about like sharing my story and inspiring people and others and looking up to what you want to do in your life. It's like decision making. It's like understanding that you will be battle tested. So you just have to go for what you really want and what you believe in. Whatever that is, man, whatever it is. Like I'm a kid from the South, from the bayous of Texas and Louisiana. You just have to keep on going. Here I am in Hollywood. I'm ready to go back home, but you know what I mean? I'm talking to you. You're a Kaleem across the world. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. Just keep pushing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.